This morning I'd like to talk to you about a great father. I had a great father. He was a little older than a lot of guys' dads. And my dad was a hardworking man. He was a farmer. He was a county board of supervisor. He did a lot of things, worked very hard to take care of the four kids, my oldest sister, Sharon, and myself, and then Lois and Marilyn, and he worked very hard. He was an honorable man. He would remind me many times, son, that name Shear is very important to me. This is very important to your grandfather. It's very important to your great-grandfather. It's very important to your great-great-grandfather. My family came from Switzerland. And they left Switzerland because of religious persecution. They hid and finally got out of the country. My great-great-grandfather died at sea somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean. He was buried. They came to Ohio Valley and moved from up the Ohio Valley. They found out there's some land grants up in Michigan. And all Michigan was a bunch of pine trees. And they went up there and they homesteaded and cut down trees by hand and worked some land. And God blessed the family. They said that my great-grandfather, John Shear, he planted apples every place he went. I don't know if he was Johnny Appleseed or not. I don't know. He planted apples. And he also had at least 200 beehives at all times. In fact, they call the road in front of my farm Shear Road after my great-grandfather because they would tell the lumberjacks were in that area, and they'd tell them, go down to Shear's, and he's got apples to sell, and he's got meat, and he's got, and he was also recorded, he was the greatest bear hunter in Michigan. And there's all kinds of stories about him. So I have a great legacy behind me. And one thing I always tried to do, finally when I grew up, amen, about 22 years old, that's when I grew up. I got married, amen. And I found out how important that sure name is. And I thank God for a godly father that reminded me. Not only reminded me, but he did those things he was reminding me. Not only did we go to church, but he took us to church. Every time the church doors opened in our church, we were there. It wasn't if we were going to church, it's what time we're leaving to go to church. And if we saw Aunt Mabel drive by our house before we knew we were late, amen. So take your Bible this morning, Genesis chapter 6. I find a man, I think of some great fathers. I think of a father, Job. Job was a great father. Joshua was a great father, but also Noah. Noah was a great father. Noah was in a world that was so wicked, so diabolic, so devilish that it was so difficult to even describe it. In the dark and black world that was so atrocious and nauseating that God finally said, he saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts were only evil continually, and it repented the Lord. My, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts and creeping things and fowl the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Oh, the world made God mad. The world upset God. It must have been pretty bad. The world at the time of Noah was so obscene, so foul, so nasty, so evil, that God was sending judgment to literally clean the place up. The world was a mess. Yet, there was a man. Yet, there was a man whose name was Noah, who had endured the wickedness of his generation, And he kept his, listen now, he kept his three sons from wickedness. And he won his boy's heart to the Lord. Gentlemen, fathers, let me remind you, if you don't win your son's heart, you've missed the whole thing of life. If you do not win your son's heart, I set out to do that in my life. I grew up with three sisters. I know you feel sorry for me. Don't. They spoiled me rotten. I mean, they spoiled me so bad you could smell me coming, amen. They spoiled me rotten. But there's just something about having a brother. And I didn't have a brother. I had a couple of twins. They were brothers, and they were fighting all the time. You just make me upset. I'd get right in the middle of them. I said, "You guys, I'm so mad at you." They said, "Why?" I said, "I don't even have a brother, and you're fighting the brother you have." I also grew up with Dennis and Cal Streeter. Dennis and Cal Streeter lived about a quarter mile from us on their farm, and they were the best of buddies I ever seen in my life. They did everything together. Cal was older than Dennis. They're both doctors now, and Cal always looked after his brother. And Dennis was 4 years younger than him, but any place Cal was at, Dennis was there. And some of the guys would kind of chide Cal and say, "What are you bringing your little brother?" He said, if my little brother's not welcome, I'm not welcome." And he'd leave. I mean, that's how close they were. And I envisioned that if I would ever have a brother, I'd be the closest knit brother known in mankind. But I didn't have one. Well, I had three sons. I never let them fight. We had boxing gloves. We had them big old boxing gloves. They couldn't even hardly pick them up when they were just young guys. And we had a boxing match. I wanted them to know how to fight. But once, if they got mad, I'd stop them, take the gloves off, and then I'd sit a chair here, and make them look at each other. Now, if you grew up in my family, you know that we are going to giggle at some time or another. And those boys would sit looking at each other, and they look like they're mad before you know it. They're giggling and laughing. I thought, all right, let's go, you know. But that was my desire was to raise up boys that loved each other and that were always with each other, and they would stick up for each other. I didn't have that privilege. That's why my nose looks like this, from being in school and not having a brother to stick up for me, amen. And you can guess what happened there, amen. Now, what I determined in my heart that I was going to raise some boys. I was going to raise some men. And I worked very hard at that. I spent a lot of time hunting and fishing. Hardly fish anymore. But I'll guarantee you, when them boys were young, they were toting a rifle or toting a pistol. They were in the woods. We were in the woods. We were in the water. We were going all the time, all the time. I was telling Jason over here, I was telling him that after vacation Bible school, I would take a trailer up to Holder, and I'd stay there all week. Only time I'd come home on Wednesday night, preach my Bible study, I'd head back. I'd stay there all week. I would take Casey with me, and we'd fish. We'd fish every day, every night, early in the morning. I mean, we just had, why? I want to spend time with my boys. I want to raise good boys. Amen. Fellas, it takes a lot of work to raise boys. By the way, can I just pull over and park a minute? Once you have a child, you're done being a boy. Now it's your turn to raise that boy. And all those little treats that you want to buy yourself, now you're buying them for the boy. Now it's their turn. You've already had your time being a boy. Now it is your time to raise that boy. And, you know, I hear a lot of guys, they go hunting with their buddy. When your boy's old enough to carry that rifle, you take your boy. You don't take your buddy. You raise them boys. Your buddy's used to fish with. I'll fish with. Man, take a little. Man, a kid 3 years old, go fishing. Amen. Get him one of them little Scooby-Doo Zebcos, whatever, man. Get something. And then start teaching them how to use a good reel. Don't buy junk. Man, I see some of your... You remind me of my mom. She used to buy me a pair of shoes that didn't fit me, but she knew that I'd grow into them. Amen. Buy me a coat. You know, you buy your kids coats and they grow into them. Come on! Buy them something looks nice on them, amen. Take care of your kids. Hey, get them good ball gloves. When I was playing, my ball glove looked like somebody ran it over the steamroller, just flat like that, amen. Boy, when my boys got old enough to play ball, I got them real nice, beautiful gloves. I mean, you just point at the ball and the ball will jump into it, amen. Work with them. Work with your kids. Teach them how to play ball. Teach them everything. If you don't know how to hunt, bring to somebody who knows how to hunt. I mean, you ought to spend your time, wear yourself out, raising your boys and your girls. Amen. Boy, we got some girls in our church. I think they'd outfit some of you boys. Amen. You know what amazed me about Noah? Noah kept them from wicked devices. Noah kept them from the indulgence and the influence of a tainted world. That's why I love Noah. He had set himself on the path of righteousness, diligently following the course of love, and kept his eyes on his wonderful Creator and Savior God. I'm sure that it was not an easy journey for him, like it's not much of an easy journey for you that are raising up your children in this diabolical, filthy world. This world without laws, who people teach our children that they can break the law and get away with it. And they can burn buildings down and they can steal things without getting caught. Or if they do caught, they just slap their hand and go on. I'm going to tell you something, brother. If you were in my house, you stole something, you were going back down to the place and you're going to apologize to the guy. One of my boys thought it would be a good idea, had some bubble gum, and Dad said, no, you can't have it. Little did I know that he got out of there and he had some bubble gum in his hand when he got home. I said, where'd you get that? Well, you know, they always amnesia, you know. And I said, I'll give you something to give you amnesia, amen. Let's go down. And after I tuned him up, amen, I gave him some time out. You know what time out is, don't you? I sat him down on his bed and I talked to him about it and read the Bible to him. They used to have slats that you pull down the shades. Slats in the wind, you know, those window shades. You pull that slat out, a piece of wood. That wood would not hurt them, but it sure sting them, amen. It wouldn't bruise them, but it'd sting them. And I'd time him out, amen. And after he got done, I said, now, boy, I said, I want you to pray and ask Jesus to forgive you your sins. And then I said, we're going down to see Mr. Lubitz at the grocery store. And you're going to go in and you're going to apologize. And son, this is shame, your daddy. You're a preacher's kid. I marched that boy down to my demise. That's a tough thing to do. And I walked in, I said, Mr. Lubitz, my son has something to say to you. Mr. Lubitz says, yes, sir. And he went kind of bent down to him. And his mild boy says, Mr. Lubitz, I stole this. And I'm so sorry. Mr. Lubitz gave him a little talking to. He didn't say, oh, that's okay. He explained to him how it costs when people steal stuff out of the store and on and on and on. And he says, son, I'm sure that you'll never do this. You know, boy, said, no, I'll never do it again. He'd already dealt with the judge and executioner for a half hour, amen, before he went down there. Spend your time with your kids. I made a mistake. I let him alone in that store and I gave him opportunity to steal. That was half my fault. Yes, it is. It's your fault. Your children get in trouble. You never leave the boys and girls alone. You always have somebody there. Don't give them that opportunity. Don't let them ruin their life. Be careful. You're the father. You're the responsible of that home. God gives the responsibility to the father of the home to look after them, to care for them. Noah's journey was successful. And God saw everything else everyone is doing, and he said, hey, he's a just man. There were a lot of distractions, and I'm sure a lot of plenty of temptation, but he shined as a brilliant star, a greater father of his faith to his son. Why? Because he had an anchor. He anchored his soul in the faith of God, and he trusted, and he found. I love that song that Henry Gilmore wrote, and also helped by George Moore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and by faith, taking hold of the word, my fetters fell off, and I anchored my soul, the haven of rest, in my Lord. Oh, come to the Savior. He patiently wait to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide sea no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild, stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. God says about Noah, grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man. He loved justice. I love justice. When somebody does something wrong, I believe they ought to pay for their wrong. And once they paid the wrong, get on with life. This man was a just man. He was careful about how he paid his bills. He was careful about what he did. He was careful about what he borrowed. He was careful about how he went about things. He was careful about being faithful to his God. The Bible says Noah was perfect in his generation. Boy, what a wonderful thing if somebody say that about you. And Noah walked with God. He had three sons. Remember, Noah lived in a world that was corrupt. Noah lived in a world that was violent. Hey, anybody noticed the world that we're living in today? Is it violent? Is it wicked? Is it corrupt? But you still raise good boys. But it takes work to raise good boys. You can't be doing your thing. You got to be doing things with them. Your responsibility. If you go out and hoe your garden, bring that kid out. You say, but preacher, he'll hoe everything out. Let him. I'd rather him hoe everything out than lose my son. Who gives a rip about carrots when you're working on an eternal soul? Amen. Genesis 6:12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupt his ways on the earth. I want you to notice that Noah somehow learned as a father that the number one thing he could do as a father to these gifts of God that God had given him, his children, was communicate the love of God and the things of God to his dear children. I remember riding down the road with my boys, and I'd tell them, I said, boys, isn't it wonderful what God has done? Look at these beautiful fields. Look at, oh, there's a deer over there. Last night we were coming home and saw some big old deer. I mean, oh, they're just waiting for me to harvest. Amen. Amazing. Just a couple months ago, them old deer all looked like skinheads. Amen. Now they got big old antlers on them. Wow. Isn't that amazing? What God did. I went up the glacier the other day and my, the magnificence and the magnitude of glacier. You can't explain it. Debbie was riding on the back of my motorcycle. I said to her, I said, you taking pictures? She says, I don't have a camera. She said, but how can you take pictures of this? I have been to glacier, I don't know how many times. I've taken pictures. It's not even, you know, it doesn't explain it. The magnitude, the huge of that. The greatest thing that he learned was he gave them a daddy that loved their mama. You want to give the greatest gift to your children, you love their mama. You respect her. You love her. You give everything you got to her. And that means a credit card too, amen. Number three. Greatest thing to let... I just thought I'd wake some of you up because some of you have been tired and I was getting a lot of people doing that. I don't know if you're agreeing with my sermon or you're fine, fall asleep. Amen. The greatest thing that he ever gave his three children was he gave them a good name. He gave them a good heritage that lasted them for a lifetime. Fourth, the greatest thing he gave to his son was his relationship with his Heavenly Father. Oh, if you can just bestow that relationship that you had And the child says, I want what daddy has. I want the God that my daddy serves. I notice a lot of kids today, they don't serve the God of their fathers. They got a whole bunch of idols out there. Got a whole bunch of junk out there. They don't serve what their daddy served. I will tell you, when I went away to college, I had my daddy's God, my mama's God, but I didn't have my God. And standing on Highway 15, hitchhiking from Rochester, Old Town of Minnesota to get to Bible College and get down here to play football, I was all alone. And I called on the Almighty God, my God of my fathers, and I accepted Him as my God. I'd accepted Christ, but I hadn't really figured it out that He was for me. Some of you need to find out God. He knew that He was going to meet His Maker, and it's inevitable that He would be gone someday in heaven. And when He's gone, and the storms of life would blow into their lives, the winds of destruction would come, the storm clouds would begin to move in, they could say, you know, Dad's God took care of him. He'll take care of me. Hallelujah! That's what we want our kids to do. We want them to know our God. We want them to be able to call upon our God that we have served, the Christ of the resurrection, the Jehovah God. We want them to have them, but they've got to choose themselves. Bless God, we better live a life so our children will want to choose Him. Amen. This is what we call legacy. Our children will keep our testimony alive even when we're gone to heaven. I'm still doing it, Dad. Hey, Grandpa, still doing it. Hey, Great-Grandpa John, I'm still doing it. I still love your God. I don't know about you, but when I'm in heaven, I hope my boys will yell that up to me. Amen. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Jesus loves me, He who died heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sins. Let His little children come in. Jesus loves me, He will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for Thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. If you had the good fortune of having a godly father, you had the privilege to be taught from the great truths of the Word of God. Fathers bringing Jesus into their home is a father's God-given duty. Taking our children to home is God-given responsibility. Woe be the father that is wanting and willing to delegate his responsibility to others. Nobody could raise my three boys better than I could. Nobody ever raised your four boys better than you could, Jonah. Nobody. Brian, there's nobody who raised your three kids better than you can. I don't care who you are, what you say. Nobody can raise your children as a father can raise his own children. Let me remind you that Heritage Baptist Church is a support group. We are not your hired servant to raise your kids. Hello! Why don't somebody say amen? Your child's pastor. Your youth directors. Sunday school teachers. We're here to assist you. But no man, no other man can do the work of the child's father as his own father. No other man can deliver a father from his own sacred God-given obligation. I think it's good that some of you guys kind of help out with some of the guys' kids, but you can't do what that daddy can do. This may sound awful hard and harsh, but fathers, you let the world go to hell before you lose your children to the devil and his crowd. Well, but I got to do this extra work. You promised your kid you were going to go fishing. Take them fishing. Amen. Sorry, I can't do that. I've got an important thing to do here. The most important thing you'll ever do in your life, because that is your responsibility in life. I understand when emergencies come. Being a pastor, man, there's always emergencies. And you've seen me for 33 years, and you know I'll be the emergencies. But I will some way, somehow, I will make it to my boys, and I'll get my job done with them. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Did he save the world? Answer that. Did he save the world? No, he didn't save the world. The world perished. The world perished. He didn't save the world. Destroy the world. Think he preached? He's a preacher of righteousness. I guess he preached. People get saved? No, people didn't get saved. But I'll tell you one thing he did. Did he win any? Yes. He won his three sons and his wife and her daughter-in-laws. The whole world went to hell. I was reading a biography of a great evangelist. This is a grand evangelist all up and down the country. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But his son was an alcoholic. Let the world go to hell if I'm going to lose my boy. Not going to do it. God sent me here, number one, to my children. I believe that a man can do that which is right and can win people to Jesus Christ and can be very careful about his time and can do the things of God tells us to do. And the one thing he tells us to do is our children. Train up your children the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from evil. Will not depart. He won his family. If you are obedient to the command of Christ, if you are obedient to the Bible, you can make something out of your child. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father and attend on to know wisdom. Hey, listen. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father and attend to know wisdom, understanding. Fathers, don't expect your child to come up right. You got to train them to come up right. When my daddy had an old pear tree out in the field there on the orchard, and those old east winds would blow off the lake Huron, Michigan, and boy, that old thing was tipping like that. You know what my dad did? He went and got some of my mama's pantyhose and tied them around that tree and pulled it snug. And then he made foam, and he put a fork on it, and he pulled that tree even more. And every year he tightened them more. And guess what? Today that pear tree stands straight because my father put the tension to it. Some of your children not only need attention, but they need some tension put to them. You can see which way they're headed. I see your three boys. All of them are different. But boy, there's one of them. I see mama putting attention to it. I see you putting attention to it. And it's working, brother. Don't give up. I had a family call me up and said, "Preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm giving up. I'm giving up. I'm giving up." I said, "Good night. Why you give up?" I was 21 before I got right with God. And I started telling her some of the escapades of this old preacher. I said, "He's just getting illustrations to be a preacher, amen. He'll be a preacher someday. Don't give up." Fathers, don't expect your child to come up right. If you do not spend valuable time teaching them, giving them instruction, and filling them with understanding, the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 2, "For I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law. Don't expect your child to walk according to the precepts of the Word of God if you don't. God's little spies are those children in your home, and they see where you're, they document where you're bad. They know when you lose your temper. They know when you're unfaithful to church. They know when you're unfaithful to Sunday school. They know when you're unfaithful to Wednesday night prayer meeting. They know when you don't come out soul winning. They know when you're talking bad about somebody. The other day something happened, and I noticed a child, and I seen him doing something, and I knew that child was not old enough to even think that. But because of what their parents were talking about, he was doing the things what their parents were saying. That scared the bejeebers out of me. If you don't take time to teach them, what does the Bible say in Proverbs 4:3? For I was my father's son, tender. Remember that tree that my father was working on at pear tree? It was tender. You could bend it. Tender and only beloved sight of my mother. You fathers need to remind your son who their father is. I want you to know I'm your dad. I'm not your best friend, though I will act like your best friend. I am your dad. God never told me to trust you. God told me to bring you up. God told me to train you, teach you. I'm going to try to teach you everything I know. And if I don't know some things, I'm going to take you down to somebody who knows something that I don't know, and they'll teach you that. I want to raise my children right. I want to make sure that they are going to grow up and they have every opportunity in life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 4, He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. This is what David was teaching Solomon. Proverbs 19:18, Chasten thy son while there is hope. When the pear tree was still limber, when my dad could still pull it straight upright, perpendicular, 90 degrees. Still tender. Chasten thy son while there's still hope, and let not thy soul spare for their crying. There's some kids just cry. You look at them and they cry. Because they know they're wrong. And they think they're going to get out of it. You ain't going to get out of it. You're going to get punished. Excuse me. Time out. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. How many agree with that? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But a rod of correction should drive it far from him. Dr. Spock, you're a liar and you don't know what you're talking about. I loved it the other day when they're down there, and I don't know, it's Baltimore or whatever, and that mama saw her boy out there and she just beat the fire. I was going to say snot. That wouldn't have been very nice. Beat the fire. How many saw that? How many rejoiced and sang hallelujah chorus? Amen. That's will keep our America straight. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Boy, I've spanked some of my boys, and I thought for sure they were going to die right there. Sure enough, they resurrected. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Let me tell you something. My cousin Cal Streeter told me, he raised, I believe, 8 kids. He said, Sheldon, I've determined in my heart to spank my children till the age of 12. And I don't want to give them another spanking after that. Good advice. You get a boy that's 12 years old, you can pretty much talk to him about it. I tell you, I whooped one when he was 17. And he said, Dad, I said, Son, you keep acting like a fool, you're going to go to jail. You ain't going to do that. Someone said, What if they put you in jail? They can put me in jail for spanking my child. But I'm not going to have the great judge of Almighty God judge me for not taking care of my child right. I think there's a way of disciplining the child. I think there's a quiet way of disciplining your child. I think it's a private thing of disciplining our child. I never smacked my kid. Never smacked him. I'd take him to the bed. I'd send him to the bedroom about 10 minutes later. I'd come in. That 10 minutes is the longest time in their life. Amen. And I said, I'm coming in. What I was doing, I sit down, grab my Bible, reading me a Bible verse that I'm going to bring in. I'm going to tell him, this is what the Bible said. And son, you ain't going to do that. You understand that you did wrong. One of my boys said, no, Daddy, I didn't do that. I said, yes, you did. He said, no, I really didn't do it. And he was not disrespectful. I said, well, tell me what. He said, this is what you said. So I did this. I said, okay. Let me tell you, if you ever do that, what you just did, I will punish you. Okay, Dad. And I walked out the room. You said, you didn't spank him? No, because I didn't tell him not to do that. He was like a stinking lawyer. He'd almost have a legal sheet with him. And the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Don't you leave him alone. Don't you leave your kids alone, ever. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Fathers, being a good dad is work. It is not for the faint-hearted, and let me tell you, it is not for the inconsistent. You tell them one thing, you better mean it. And if you're so dumb you can't remember it, write it down. Good children don't just happen. They're developed, they're molded, and they are shaped. Someone has to do some work on them. Children are in need of constant attention. Children need constant protection. Don't you let your child go to the bathroom alone. When you're in a public place, don't you dare let them go alone. You can't take your eyes off them for a moment. You are responsible for your children. You never let them be unattended. Never, never, never. You never let the girls home with the boys alone. Listen to me. We live in a wicked world. And you have to be a constant vigilant. If you didn't like this responsibility, you should have never got married and you should have never had a baby. But now you got one. And you can't put him back. So now you got to take care of him. God Almighty told the early fathers to command their child, their household, to fear the God and talk to their offspring often of the wondrous works of the Most High God. Fatherly teaching is a natural duty. The father is the only one fit to look after his offspring, to look after his own child's well-giving. Neglect instruction of our offspring is the worst than a brute beast. For a wild beast would protect their own offspring. I remind you, your church is necessary to raise your children. Families and churches is crucial. The moral fiber of our nation, resides. Their pastors, their Sunday school teacher reinforces, listen to me, it reinforces what you have been teaching them at home. Not only do they hear mama say it, but they hear the preacher say it. Not only do they hear daddy say it, but they hear the Sunday school teacher say it. That is why that your church is so important. Your church needs to continue to be flourished so that you can help them. Oh, that fathers would awaken to the sense of the importance of spending time raising their children. It is a pleasant duty to talk to Jesus, to your sons and daughters. God has saved many a child because their father's prayer and admonition. We must be about our duty as a father. I wonder if you fathers, that you are on your way to heaven. It's awful hard to raise your child for God when you don't even know God. Serve God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Fathers, our country is in disarray. We need someone to step up and say, I'll be that father. I'm going to pray with them every day. I'm going to read scripture with them every day. I'm going to talk to them about Jesus every day. I'm going to take time with them and teach them. You know, someone said, preacher, I just can't get my teenager to talk. I'll tell you what you do. Get in your car, go down to Helena. When you're heading for the Roof Creek Canyon, through it, your cell phone doesn't work. iPads, iPhones, ayayays are all messed up. They got to talk to you. Teenagers go crazy if they don't talk. You say, my kid never talks. Maybe you don't have anything interesting to talk to him about. There's nothing so wonderful as sitting out on a mountainside and just sitting there. Have your boy sitting with you, just waiting, glassing. Or sitting there with a drowned in a worm, just waiting for that bump. You ever had that? Sitting out in the golf cart. Taking the ball game. If Jesus Christ knew how to cook, you ought to know how to cook. He said, what are you talking about? Shoreline food, man. Fish and bread, amen. Jesus knew how to cook. You ought to know how to cook. You ought to know how to throw a piece of bread with some butter on it, and peanut butter and jelly. Get some chips. Get something. Load it up. Don't go fishing hungry. Have a lot of something to drink. Have a good time. It's one of these days. Are you ready for this? One of these days, they're going to grow up. And they're going to have their own children. And what you taught them, now they're teaching their kids. And they just kind of forget about you. And they're doing their own thing. Which, may I say, is exactly what I try to teach my boys. Every once in a while, I say, hey, Pa, you want to go fishing? Man, I've been dying to go fishing. I see your stinking pictures on the Facebook and everything. You're all fishing. I ain't fishing with you. You either gripe about it or say, yeah, I'm ready. Man, you want to go fishing with me tomorrow? I ain't fishing on Sunday. You want to go fishing with me tomorrow? You just say, hey, preacher, you want to go fishing? In 5 minutes, I've got my lunch packed. And I've got my fishing equipment ready. In 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I can pick you up any place in town. And we're going. But if you want to go fishing with me right now, I fish at night. About 9:30, we leave. You say, oh, preacher, I get so tired. You can sleep in heaven. I ain't never caught a fish in my bed. You say, but, oh, I need my sleep. You overrate your sleep. I get tired, man. I just drop off and get back up and go, go, go. Hey, be a good daddy. Be a good dad. Let's stand. Father, I pray you'd be with these men tonight. We especially spoke to the fathers today. Dear God, I pray that if there's anyone here today who does not know Jesus as their Savior, Lord God, that they today would accept you as their personal Savior. Lord, there may be some fathers here today that have been saved, but they haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. How in the world are they going to get their kids to follow Lord and believers' baptism and do what the Bible says? If you won't even do it yourself, God have mercy. Maybe some here today that your toys have taken over and you think more of your toys than your kids. Oh, God, I pray you'd raise a mighty army of men at Heritage Baptist Church that we'd be willing to charge hell with squirt guns. Lord, we'd be willing to go and do our business for you, Lord God. We be men, manly men to serve you. God, I pray you'd help us. Lord, America needs some men. Lord, raise them up, Lord God. Help them to serve you. Give themselves to you. While you're standing, I want to ask you a couple questions. You're today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that today. Why don't you just, I'm going to be down front. Why don't you just step out of that seat?
Say, for today, preacher,
I want Jesus to be my Savior. Today is the day, Father's Day. I want Christ to be my Savior. Why don't you come right now? You're today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure. Why don't you come right now? You're here today and say, preacher, I'm saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Hey. Let's man up. Take care of it. You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. As the father of my home, I want to lead my children and my family to this church. Why don't you come at this time? You hear today and say, preacher, I'm a dad. Would you pray for me this morning? I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're standing. Would you pray for me as a father that I'd live the way I should live in front of my children? God bless you. God bless you. My. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Yeah. That's where it starts. Be the man of the home. Father, I pray you'd be with us today. Thank you for these that raise their hands. Lord, I do pray. I bring their name before you in the presence of that holy throne room of God. I pray, Lord Jesus, for these men that their lives would be changed and their children would see it. And they'd say, Daddy, I want to be just like you with your God. Lord, I pray you'd help us today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. And we ask you, Lord, to meet our needs. Help us to be back in church tonight. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.